There he is. Yeah, I believe, I don't believe we'll meet in the garden room Sunday night. I believe we'll meet right in here because I believe there's going to be too many people. Because the truth is, what God has spoken to my heart, and I'll share that today through the word, man, what an incredible word he's given me. It's our Sunday evenings will be, again, the koinonia, which is ministry of life. It'll be not teaching the word, but talking about Jesus, because I'm trying to pattern this thing. It's in my heart after what happened in the early church, and it'll be a time of prayer for one another. It'll be a time of the flow of the gifts that are in us. It will be an incredible time, and it's really for those who we've even told our staff, you don't have to come, because it's for those who are really wanting more Jesus. And my wife and I will be here because we're wanting more Jesus, and that's really the bottom line on that. So but today, wow, you know, every year I usually study out the number for the year, which this one will be 2020. Last year, 2019, you probably don't remember, but there was nothing that jumped in my spirit, so I didn't want to just do something to do something. You understand? But man, oh man, when I was reading this, it's amazing. There is nothing coincidental with God. There is nothing coincidental with God. And this number 20, in biblical meaning, it means a complete or perfect waiting period. There's a lot in this number 20, and I'm going to kind of cliff note it today, but man, it's exciting. And it's exciting because it's like confirmation in my heart for where God's taking us as a church and as believers. So I'm just going to start rolling with this, and we're going to see what happens here. So 2020 is the year of the young joining the battle. Look at the scripture. A year after Israel's departure from Egypt, the Lord spoke to Moses in the tabernacle in the wilderness of Sinai. And on the first day of the second month that year, he said, from the whole community of Israel, record the names of all the warriors by their clans and their families. List all of the men 20 years or older who are able to go to war. You and Aaron must register the troops, and you will be assisted by one family leader. Here's what I know, and this is really what's so funny. You know, there's all kinds of sayings now. Have you heard the saying, okay, boomer? Probably not, you olders haven't, but the youngers understand okay, boomer. It's like the boomer, that would be, I'm a boomer, not a boomer sooner, thank God, they got killed yesterday, but not. I'm a boomer, which means, you know, I'm older than the rest. So the whole principle of the okay boomer is, and whatever you say, dude, you know, you're just an old guy, you know, you don't get it. You're going to talk about walking in the snow for 20 miles to school. You get it? So that's the okay boomer. But then we've killed the millennial, right? Because the millennial's entitled, and let me tell you something. The Lord spoke to my heart very clearly that God is going to raise up this Benjamin generation that is younger, and that he's going to incorporate in that. They're going to be talking to people about Jesus. They're going to be talking to their friends about Jesus, and they're going to be warriors in the battle for Jesus. I'm telling you, that's going to come to fruition in 2020. I'm just being very honest with you. Let me keep going. This is probably the strongest word right here that I got, and it's incredible to me. 2020, in fact, this was the title of my message today. 2020, the wait is over. All right? You get that? 2020, the wait is over. Some of you will be just like what I'm fixing to read in the Word, which is they had to wait 20 whole years. So I want you to go back from how old you are right now back to when you're 20. Some of you won't even remember because you would have been babies. But you get what I'm saying? Go 20 years back. Go 20 years back in your brain. I'm telling you, if I have heard anything in my spirit as I prayed over this message, is that this wait is over. And I want to start with Jacob had to wait 20 years before he got to go back to his homeland where he was supposed to be. If you remember the story, Jacob went to Laban. Laban was his uncle, and he went to Laban, and he hung with Laban for a month, and he had met Rachel at the water well, and he hung with Laban for a month, and Laban went up to him. Laban was, in my eyes, an evil man. Laban went up to him and said, man, you can't work for free anymore. I want to pay you. How much do you want? And Jacob said, you know what? If you'll just let me marry Rachel, I'll work for you for 7 years. Laban's like, well, let's do it. So 7 years he labored. And the Bible says that he labored for 7 years, but it felt only like a couple of days because he loved Rachel so much. So then the wedding day came, and they got married, and then late at night, Jacob had already gone to bed, and Laban brought in Leah, her sister, instead of Rachel, in the dark. So they consummated, and when he woke up in the morning, he's like, you gave me the wrong woman. And he got angry, obviously so. And Laban tells him, well, you know, it's our culture. Well, you know what it says in the Old Testament? You know, it's our culture that you don't marry, the younger one doesn't get married first, the new ones. But he says, I'll give you Rachel after this bridal week is over. In a week, I'll give you Rachel, but you have to work for me 7 more years. How wrong is that? But he did it. He did it. So they got married, and the Bible says very clearly that Rachel, you know, that he loved her more than he loved Leah, whatever. The bottom line is, so 7 more years, that's what Laban told him. If you work 7 more years, I'll give her to you. So he did. So 14 years, this man is into this thing. So after 14 years, he decides he wants to leave. Laban's not going to let him leave. So a whole series of events happen. That's why I said I'm cliff known. If you want to read it, look in 1 Samuel 5. But a whole lot of events happen. But then, so for 6 years more, he worked for Laban, getting nothing for himself, right? Well, then the Lord showed up, and the Lord spoke to Jacob and stay till 1. No, I have a, you know, just on real quick side note, I had a Lutheran pastor friend of mine, and he always spoke 33 minutes, and he said he would give an hour of study for every minute. So he studied 33 hours for 33 minutes. That's where I'm at in my heart today, and then moving ahead. So I was talking about what was going on. So Here's what happened. It says 3 days later, by the way, after the Lord told him to leave, he did. He took off, but he kind of snuck out. He didn't want Laban to know, so he kind of snuck out. So 3 days after he snuck out is what this is. 3 days later, Laban was told that Jacob had fled. So he gathered a group of his relatives and set out in hot pursuit. And he caught up with Jacob 7 days later in the hill country of Gilead. But the previous night, God had appeared to Laban, the Aramean, in a dream and told him, I am warning you, leave Jacob alone. I'm telling you, the year 2020, God is going to stand up for you if you're a believer, and he's going to have the enemy leave you alone. It's the truth. I'm not just saying it just to say it because it sounds good, like a good sermon. No, this is in my spirit. God has had enough, and I know there's tons of us who have put up for maybe as many as 20 years and kept our mouths shut and said nothing when people were coming against us, and when people were doing this, and when relationships are falling apart, and when your family's falling apart. I'm telling you, God is at the point where he's seeing this remnant that he calls his own, and he's saying, enough is enough, leave them alone. That's good stuff right there. Now watch this. Here's Jacob's response to him after God told him, for 20 years I've been with you, caring for your flocks. In all that time, your sheep and goats never even miscarried. In all those years, I never used a single ram of yours for food. And if any were attacked and killed by wild animals, I never showed you the carcass and asked you to reduce the count of your flock. No, I took the loss myself. And you made me pay for every stolen animal, whether it was taken in broad daylight or in the dark of night. I worked for you through the scorching heat of the day, through the cold and through sleepless nights. Yes, for 20 years, he's screaming up by now. I slaved in your house. I worked for 14 years, earning your two daughters, and then 6 more years for your flock, and you changed my wages 10 times. In fact, if the God of my father had not been on my side, the God of Abraham and the fearsome God of Isaac, you would have sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen your abuse and my hard work, and that's why he appeared to you last night and rebuked you. Wow, Jacob even had the prophetic word knowing that God had appeared to him. So what happened right after this was Laban's like, oh, okay. So they made a covenant and Jake went home. Let me see where I'm at here. So let's turn here. I did that. So 2020, God is not going to restore in 2020. I'm real tired. I think the Lord might be, he didn't get tired, when people are asking for restoration. He is not going to restore in 2020. He's going to give what is rightly yours. Do you hear what I'm saying? You need to let that settle in. He's not going to restore. He's going to give you what is rightfully yours. You've been faithful when done wrong, and God's going to say enough. How good is that? So that's the one story in the wait. Here's another story in the wait. 20 years, the children of Israel waited to be freed from King Jabin. Let's look at it right here. You can see it. I just want to show it's a 2020. After Ehud's death, the Israelites again did evil in the Lord's sight. Can't imagine. So the Lord turned them over to King Jabin of Hazor, a Canaanite king. And the commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagogim, whatever. And Sisera, who had 900 iron chariots, ruthlessly oppressed the Israelites for how long? For 20 years. But then after 20 years, the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, the best prayer you can ever pray, help! Help! So what happened was God raised up Deborah, who was a prophet, and Barak, who was a warrior, and told them to take 10,000 troops and go up against this. So when Sisera saw what was happening, he sent all 900 of his chariots in battle against them. Well, what happened was they got scared because the 10,000 came down with his 900 chariots, and they freaked out, and they all started running. Sisera got away from all of them and started running like a little girl. I'm sorry, not a little girl. That's probably not politically correct. You get what I'm saying, though. He just started. It reminds me. Now, I won't tell that story. So here's what happens. So he's running. So he thinks, oh, man, I'm going to go to my friend's house because I got to get away from these Israelites. Now, understand, he's the enemy. Now, here it is. Here's the end of this story right here. It says, meanwhile, Sisera ran to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, and because however you say it's family, was on friendly terms with the king, Jabin of Hazor. So Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, come on into my tent, sir. Come in. Don't be afraid. So he went into her tent, and she covered him with a blanket. Please give me some water, he said. I'm thirsty. This big, bad king. I'm thirsty. Actually, it wasn't the king. It was the king's second in command. And he says, I'm thirsty. So she gave him some milk from a leather bag and covered him up again. Stand at the door of the tent, he told her. If anybody comes and asks if there's anyone here, say no. But when Sisera fell asleep from exhaustion, Jael quietly crept up to him with a hammer and a tent peg in her hand. Then she drove the tent peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. somebody needs to do that movie right there, right? 20 years. Here's the word of the Lord. Here's the word of the Lord. Wait a second. Let me find it. Here it is. In bondage for 20 years, locked down for 20 years, slaved for 20 years. But when they cried out for help, God did it. Oh, there's a third one. Here's a third one under this, the wait is over. This is a great story. The Philistines, the Ark of the Covenant, you know, of course, was Israel's. Obviously, we know what the Ark of the Covenant was, everything, what was inside. Ark of the Covenant was the presence of God. It's where the, what they carried everywhere, and they put it in the tabernacle. Nobody could go into even near it unless you were a priest, and that was usually once a time a year. And so they did all that, and so that was represented the presence of God. And inside the Ark was the manna, the thing of manna, the Ten Commandments, and Aaron's rod that budded when everybody came against him because they didn't like him being the leader because he made them do stuff. So all this. So this is a powerful thing. So what happened was they went to battle. Israel went to battle, and the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. Well, when they they captured it and they took it to their town. I think the town's called Ashdod or something. They took it to their town. And when the people went out the next morning to look at it, their god Dagon had fallen flat on his face. So they picked him back up and put him back up. Well, the next day they went out there again, and he had fallen flat on his face again. But this time his arms and legs and everything broke off, and there was only a little torso there. So then they, then this was what happened. This is greatness. So then the Lord's heavy hand struck the people of Ashdod and the nearby villages with a plague of tumors. And when the people realized what was happening, they cried out, "We can't keep the Ark of God of Israel here any longer. He's against us. We will all be destroyed along with Dagon, our God." So they totally freaked out. They wanted to get rid of it, so they did. And what they did, I'll do the short version of it. They hooked it up to two cows and sent the cows on their way and wouldn't even go near it as the cows were going, and those cows just happened to go into Israel. But they only had it 7 months. But here's what happened. You're saying 7 months, where's the 20 years thing? Well, here's what happened. It finally ended up in Kiriath Jearim. Kiriath Jearim's in Israel, and here it is. It says, "So the men of Kiriath Jearim came to get the Ark of the Lord, and they took it to the hillside home of Abinadab and ordained Eleazar, his son, to be in charge of it. And the ark remained in Kiriath Jearim for a long time, 20 years in all. And during that time, all of Israel mourned because it seemed the Lord had abandoned them." Now, it was back in Israel, but it was 9 miles away. Only 9 miles away. They should have called FedEx or somebody. Only 9 miles away. But for 20 years, it remained there. 2020. God is going to restore his presence where it's supposed to be. That means not only in our church, but in our homes, in our jobs, in our everyday walk. I'm telling you, the men will rise up to be priests of their home and not kings of their castle. My best friend, the greatest story I can tell you is my best friend, his wife has always been a Christian her whole life. Gary hadn't been a Christian hardly at all, right? So she kind of carried the load of being the priest of the home, if you will, because she was the spiritual one and stuff. But I'll never forget, we were at our church in California, and I don't have a clue what was the message that was preached. But at the end of it, Gary just comes lumbering up to me, and he sits down next to me, basically saying, "I really want this Jesus more now." And an incredible change happened in his life. And I thought, because his wife's a pistol, and I thought, boy, let's see how she reacts to this when he starts walking in his priestly authority. I want you to know something. She melted. She melted into letting that happen. Fellas, I'm telling you right now, you're going to be the priest of your home. It's something God is doing, and it's not a hammer priest. Again, that's the king of your castle. The priest of your home, you're going to actually maybe pray with your wife. You hear what I'm saying? This is a power. And for those of you who might not be married, fellas, get ready. So, again, our churches, our homes, our jobs, our everyday walk, God's presence is going to come. And I just have seen this for, there's tons of churches in the United States of America, but is the presence there? Is his presence there? And I'm talking about our church as well. I'm telling you, 2020 is going to be a time where the ark's brought back. Now, here's what's cool. If you do the whole story and you follow David, when David went to get the ark to bring it back to Jerusalem where it belonged, they praised so hard that David was had on like an athletic supporter, basically is all, and he was dancing like a fool. Remember this? And his wife's name was Micah. And when she saw him and he came in the house, she goes, "You just made a stupid fool of yourself, man. How can you do that?" And the Bible says that she became barren because she did that. And I read a quote today, and this quote is awesome to me. Never let a blind person proofread your vision. You get it. There's going to be people, even in 2020, that are going to say, "Ah, yeah, sure, that Jesus thing. Ah, yeah, sure." No, don't let a blind man proofread your vision. Because God has placed it in you. God's going to raise you up. I'm telling you, 2020 is going to be an incredible year. I'm excited. I'm excited about it because I'm excited because God has already started long before I got to this message. He was preparing our hearts to get us to where we're going to get. And it is about the praise. And in fact, next week I'm probably going to start on this whole praise thought. Nowhere in the Bible was victory ever came after worship. Victory came in praise. From Jehoshaphat on down, victory came in praise. It's in praise where we fight the battle. It's in worship where we gain more of Him. Sundays are going to be the battle fight. Sunday nights are going to be the worship time. You get it now. You getting it? Because that's what it is. That's where it's at. So we're going to hammer the enemy. I'm wood of despair. I just thought an old song, man. Wow. Okay. I'm already at my conclusion. Are you happy about that? 33 minutes, and I'm only probably 15 into it. The conclusion is really cool. As you know, 20, just in case, you can write this down if you want. 20 is a number. Just wanted you to know that. Got it? The number that is used in the Hebrew language is called kaf. K-A-P-H. It looks like a backward C. All right. Let me get there. I'm on my last page somewhere. There it is. So 20 is represented by the, I said that. And here's what it means. Kaf is the palm. Remember when we did the letter Yod? It's similar to Yod, which is palm as well. But Kaf is the palm or the hollow of the hand or the flat of the hand or the feet. So I love to think of the feet because the feet's where we do our walking and not just our talking. So here's what you remember when they said that they felt like when during the 20 years that the ark was misplaced, the people felt abandoned. But I need you to understand something. He never left them. And here's a scripture that you're all going to probably know concerning this palm. This is out of Lamentations, or excuse me. There it is. Did I miss a scripture? I sure don't want to miss a scripture. I didn't, did I? No, I didn't. If I did, it's... Yeah. Did I read Sam? Did I go back words one? One? Did I read this? Yet Jerusalem, okay, back up one more so I can see where I'm at. I'm sorry. Right, so during the time they mourned the abandonment, okay. Then the next scripture is, yet Jerusalem says, the Lord, yeah, this is where I want to be right here. This is out of Isaiah. I said it was out of Lamentation. Yet Jerusalem says, the Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us. That's what they said just a while ago. Never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written your name on the cuff of my hands. Do you not see how much Jesus and God view you as precious? You are precious. No matter what you do, you are written on the palm of His hand. Every time He might want us to be concerned, He just has to look at the palm of his hand. And Jesus probably reminds God to look at his palm as he shows him his palm with all the "it is finished" stuff that's in it. So, so this 2020 is going to be a year of us beginning to finally understand we are precious to him. A lot of time we think he palm slaps us, right? Or maybe we want him to palm slap us. That's where I've been in my past. I wanted to be palm slapped because I wasn't a good person. But he loves me so much, he does that. The second one in this, I got two more scriptures and then we will have communion. This one's in Lamentations. Watch this one. This is powerful to me. Rise during the night and cry out. Pour out your hearts like water to the Lord. Lift up your hands, your open palms to him in prayer, pleading for your children, for in every street they are faint with hunger. I know that you have children in this church that you for 20 years have just thought nothing's going to change. They're not going to get better. I'm telling you, the answer is not some kind of rehab. The answer is not a sermon. The answer is to raise our palms to the Lord. And I'm telling you right now, God is going to honor that in 2020. Raise your palms to the Lord in the middle of the night and call out your children's name. God, I call out Charity. I call out Jacob. I call out Leah. I call out Connor. I call out my grandkids. I'm calling these children out because it's in that. It's in that where we're going to see real change. And no, God's not going to knock them down, but he'll sure paint them in a corner. And when I tell you paint them in a corner, I mean they're going to run into the most crazy Christians you've ever seen. And what I mean by that is, you know, they'll be walking down the street and somebody will bump into them. They'll be all long-haired and tatted up, and they'll be saying, "Do you know Jesus?" Man, you know, run somewhere else, go to the grocery store. Somebody else will run into him. Do you know Jesus? I'm telling you, he will paint them in a corner, but it's not going to come through our power and our might. It's going to come through the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm excited about that. Because I've prayed with a lot of y'all concerning your family. And I'm telling you right now, something is stirring in the spirit. And it's coming through prayer. And it's coming through raising our palms to heaven. And I'm telling you, don't call me crazy, but that's what you need to do. Don't just say, "Oh, God, please." No, I'm raising my palms to you, God. I'm calling out my family to you, God. You get it? Going to be some change, man. And then my last scripture is pretty cool, too, about this palm, this number 20. The nations, boy, do you not see this in this country? The nations will see your righteousness. World leaders will be blinded by your glory. Talking about us. And you will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth. The Lord will hold you in his hand, for all to see, a splendid crown in the hand of God. And we have forever, guys, forever, we've been afraid to even talk about who Jesus is. He's saying, "I'm going to show the world who I am through you. I'm going to show the world who I am through you." So 2020 is going to be the year that God raises us up as a testimony to his greatness and his goodness and his glory. That reminds me of that song I wrote, Goodness, Greatness, and Glory. That's where he's at. That's where it's at. And it's for those of us who believe. And we do believe. So the 2020 year, the 20-year wait is over for all of us who sincerely seek him. I'm telling you, that's why we're going to have this gathering, this thing, this koinonia on Sunday nights. This is powerful. What we do on Sunday mornings. But there's a remnant of folks. There's some folks out there that want more of him. We got to have more of him. In our country, we need more of him. And I'm going to tell you, out of that's going to be birth the more of him. You understand that? So that's it. Charles, come on up. That was, sorry. That was, I got to unload that.
That's good.
Unpackage that.
Very good.
I want everybody to stand with me, and would somebody stand by where the communion is?
There's one in over there, and in the
okay,
back.
Yeah, just have somebody stand and help pass it out. Come on and get your communion, you can go right back where you were at. Here, I'd like one.
Everybody, come on up. Grab your communion. I just want to go over this message again. Just read the 2020s. Steve, if I miss something, correct me, okay?
Oh, you're
good. I'm just going to recap. 2020, a complete or perfect period of waiting. 2020, a year of the young joining in the battle. 2020, the wait is over. 2020, God is going to stand up for you. 2020, God is not going to restore. He's going to give you what is rightfully yours. 2020, God is restoring his presence in your life, and victory comes through praise. 2020, understanding we are precious to him. 2020, he raises us up in his glory. And 2020, again, the wait is over. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. While we're still gathering and grabbing this, the song, we sang that song earlier, said, I'm going to see a victory. And this leapt in my heart while they were singing this. I look around this room, and I see victories all over the place. I look in a room, I see Eric Blunt, and I see victory. I look at Ken Graves, I see victory. I look at Vela Young, I see victory. I look at Eric and his beautiful young family, and I see victory. I see victory everywhere, and you know what? That gives me confidence. That gives me hope. That if God can do it for you, he can do it for me. If God can do it for me, he can do it for you. Look around this room and see victory all over the place. I see cancer healed. Victory. Amen? I see it all over the place. Heart issues healed. Victory. Financial issues taken care of. Victory. I see it. Just look around. Just look around. We get so much in our fields. We get so much in ourselves. We get so much where we're just, it's all about us. If we just reach out and look out, as Gay says, don't freak out, seek out, we see the victory. It's all around us. You need confidence? Look around. You need hope? Look around. You need belief? Look around. 2020, the wait is over. Amen? Yeah. Father God, we lift up this, thank you, cracker. Represent your body, beaten and broken for us. God, through this, we have healing.
Thank you.
Spiritual, physical, mental, we have healing. We have it all contained in your body, God. Lord, we thank you for that, and we take this together. Father God, we lift up this cup of juice, which represents your blood. That was spilled for us. Signs and seals, the new covenant. That says we are righteous through you and in you. God, we thank you for that. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we take this together. Father God, we worship your holy name. Lord, we praise you. I am so excited about the changes coming, God. Thank you for vision. Thank you for vision to walk this out. God, I know change is painful sometimes, but God, we walk through this with you, for you. We can't do it without you, Lord. We love you. We praise you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
All right, real quick, Happy New Year. I know it's coming.